Welcome to Thy Strong Word. I'm Pastor Craig D'Onofrio, sitting in for Pastor Will Wheaton, who is, I'm going to make it up. He's in Tahiti right now. Did you know that?
Oh, my goodness.
I just made it up. He's probably in Illinois listening right now, but Tahiti sounds better.
Yeah, it sounds like paradise.
You're listening to Thy Strong Word, underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org. Go discover them. I want to say thanks to the wonderful folks at Hope Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Pastor Randy Asbury's church, who allowed me to preach to them yesterday and do a Bible study. I hope that they recover by the time that Pastor Asbury gets back. But wonderful time, fantastic music. I can't tell you. They have two young ladies that play the violin that are so good. Just blew my socks off, but a wonderful group of people and a glorious time. I don't get to preach very often anymore, and I don't get to teach in a classroom environment that often. So what a blessing it is to be back in the pulpit and back in the class. With me in studio, Pastor David Boyce Clare. Now, you have a dual parish, right?
Yes.
Faith and Bethesda in St. Louis. And then you also have a shop.
Yeah, at Faith Lutheran Church in Velda City, 3000 Lucas and Hunt. We have a thrift store where everything is a dollar or less. And that includes a Rolls Royce is only a dollar and maybe even a stick of gum. Well, that we might sell that.
That would be $2.
Then. Yeah. Well, actually, all the food that is donated to us is given to any of our customers that so desire. So any food that is there is free. It's like a food pantry. But we have the community has really received us very graciously, hundreds of people make donations to us, and so we really feel it's a gracious gift from the Lord, a charisma.
Uh-oh, we're going to get into that in a few minutes, aren't we?
But anyway, I've been at those two churches for over 21 years now, and we still want to press on, even though there's just a smattering of us, but wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be, says Jesus. So that's I'm comfort in that.
Back when I was serving churches in New England, I had a radio program and I had a pastor on who said, I'm not going to get too worried until the church is smaller than it was on the day of Pentecost. So I think that with little congregations and everything, boy, there's a lot of faith required to show up and keep
ministering. Certainly. Yeah, we've lost a lot of people because it gets too small, yes.
And so that's a constant struggle, but we'll certainly keep you in our prayers.
And those prayers have been answered in many ways.
If people would like to make donations to the shop or to the churches, how would they go about doing that, Pastor?
I suppose via coming to the location at, we are open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Also to our address, which is 3000 Lucas and Hunt Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63121-5006. Unfortunately, we're not set up to receive anything via internet, but that would be a good idea. You know, something we want to maybe pursue in the future. Where we have one member who has built a website for us via WordPress. I believe it's Bethesda Faith Lutheran Church dot WordPress WP.org or something like that. So, but anyway, there's oftentimes that we're able to extend, our ministry in different directions.
Yes, yes.
Although a lot of my time is spent cutting grass. I have to cut the grass, so but I have some help. So
I have been pastor and janitor many times, so I understand what's going on there. Pastor, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 12 today, and so those of you following along at home, if you have your Bibles handy, go ahead and open to 1 Corinthians 12. If you don't have a Bible handy, but you have a computer or a smart device handy, Bible Gateway is a great place to go. Lots of translations there. We're going to be, or I'm working out of the ESV. I'm not sure what you're working out of. I also have some Greek in front of me, but that doesn't mean that I understand it. It's just there. Anyway, Pastor, would you give us, would you ask the Lord's blessing on this Bible study?
Certainly. O Holy Spirit, come to us through word and sacrament to strengthen and to guide us into all truth, as our Lord Jesus promised. We thank you for the indescribable gift of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord, and that you are the one who brings us to faith through holy baptism, and that you sustain our faith through the word and sacraments. We pray that you would guide us as we study about spiritual matters, spiritual gifts, spiritual things, and being spiritual in your church in the proper understanding of that term. We ask you to guide us as we study this word together. Also, I pray for all of the members of our churches in the St. Louis area who might be seriously ill or in the hospital. I know that one of mine is members from my church is, so I pray for her and for all of them as well. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. So we look into 1 Corinthians 12. We get a little running start on this. There's a lot of weird division in Corinth and the church there. What are some of
that's
the
very perceptive way of saying it. It's a very weird division in Corinth,
well,
I think. Yes,
it's
absolutely.
A theological term. I hope our listeners understand it.
Yes.
What's going on in Corinth? It's kind of a zoo. There's madness.
Yes, it is. I think it's mostly people promoting themselves, people that are promoting their teachers or their favorite pastors, you might say, or apostles or apostolic men. In the case of I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm Peter, I'm of Jesus. You know, like even in the church today, we have all of the denominations, and you know, even some. That's why it really always struck me as kind of discordant when I saw a denomination known as the Christian Church. Well, we are also or you could even say the Catholic Church,
right?
because as Christians, even though we are also called Lutherans, we are also Christian and we're also Catholic, maybe with a small c.
Right.
But you know, there is a lot of this weird division going on in Corinth, and even taking spiritual things and gifts, even the Lord's Supper, and misusing it as they did, and that was dealt with in the chapters that were just before that. Here now are they're misusing the gift of speaking in other languages in this case, or speaking in tongues.
Right. So in the last two programs, we also dealt with issues of the Lord's Supper, where people are abusing each other, and in abusing each other, they're also abusing the Lord's Supper.
Yes.
And the body and blood of Christ. And so now we move on into something that's really interesting, spiritual gifts. And you mentioned this Christian church, and I remember first time I saw, oh, there's a church called the Christian, the obvious name. Why didn't we think of that one first, you know? But anyway.
Well, and people oftentimes for us, they say, well, are you worshiping Martin Luther, or why do you call yourselves Lutheran? It's that name was given to us, and because we want to confess the truth of all of what that name implies, that's
right.
Why you know, we keep that. We used to call ourselves evangelical, and we still do call our, but even that word has been changed in this century, last century, you know, to be called an evangelical, but that gospel church.
In certain countries, if you're looking for the Lutheran church and you say, where's the Lutheran church? They'll stare at you like, I don't know what you're talking about. But if you say the evangelical church or evangelische or whatever it is in that language, oh, yeah, they're right around the corner there. Let's go ahead and jump into this. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, Pastor Boyce Clare, we do hear heretics say Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
But So how do we understand this?
Well, in this particular situation, he contrasts Christianity with paganism. And this, in a sense, is what I would say is the test of whether one has the Holy Spirit, because if one does have the Holy Spirit, one will confess Lord Jesus, or Jesus Christ is Lord. Even the name Jesus Christ is a confession of faith. Jesus is the Messiah. Again, that's probably why, you know, to your question, you know, the answer is kind of given. Well, maybe give me a little more information as to who is this Jesus?
What do you mean by that?
Even Jehovah Witnesses say that Jesus is Lord, but they don't understand all the ramifications of the word Lord as a stand-in for Yahweh, you know, the name of God. And so in a sense that what I would say this is, if people want to say, well, how do I know I have the Holy Spirit? It's not by speaking in tongues. It's by are you confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, or Jesus is Lord? You know, and that's kind of a way in which we know whether one has the Holy Spirit. And of course, you wouldn't, if you did have the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't want to say Jesus Christ is accursed, or anathema in the original Greek, anathema, something that is devoted to destruction. You know, like now we hear the word jihad a lot. That's the same concept. In Hebrew, was kerem, which is something that is devoted to destruction, sort of like a sacrifice. And so we don't want Jesus destroyed. We don't want Jesus to be cursed, but rather we want to exalt him as our Lord and as the Lord.
You know, it's interesting that you point that out, the anathema Jesus here in the Greek, that eternally condemned idea, that Jesus is condemned, or, you know, people might just say, damn Jesus, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yes.
And I can't help but to think even Muslims confess that Jesus was at least a great prophet. I don't think that they would say that he's condemned necessarily.
No.
So is the question that we have to ask then is, who do you say Jesus is?
Yes. I mean, you know, what do you confess of Christ? What do you say of him? You know, there's a little bit more that God's word provides for us. But even by saying Jesus is Lord, you're saying Jesus is God, because the word Kyrios was the word that was used in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, to translate the divine name. Yahweh was translated as Kyrios. Appointed that way, that it was Adonai. Adonai is a Hebrew for Lord, so that would be, you know. And then you can even see in the verses that follow that there is the Spirit, then there is the Kyrios, then there's the Theos. And usually in the New Testament, when you see the word Theos, which is God, which that refers to the Father, or it can refer to the entire Godhead, and then Kyrios to Jesus.
So shall we move on to 4:11 to flesh this out a little bit then?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. We look at this and we see the charismatic movement and a misreading of this. What are we to make of all of these different gifts? Are they immediate gifts from heaven? Are they mediated through study in the Word? Are they mediated through sacraments? How do these gifts come to man?
I mean, I think that from my experience, it's in any gift from God. You know, like, for instance, maybe someone has a gift for music, but if it isn't a spiritual gift, unless that person becomes a Christian, and then the Holy Spirit uses that. That's a very good question. But obviously it would come through this baptism, and then that's of course something that's brought out later in the chapter. In baptism we receive the entire Christ, as Luther says, and all of his gifts. That's where the Holy Spirit enlightens us, and it's through the Word. Because a lot of times the danger with looking at these gifts. Now, one thing the commentator that I used Lockwood, that's the one who did the Concordia commentary. He correctly points out that the Apostle Paul here has a desire to use the word charisma as opposed to pneumatikos. You know, in the one is spiritual gift, or pneumatika actually is a spiritual gift. And then in charisma or charismata is a gift of grace. So it's a gracious gift of God. And but it all comes from God. And so the point is, it's not something what the apostle asks the Corinthians, what do you have that you have not been given? And all is given in Christ through the means of grace, through word and sacrament. And so I would contend that the Holy Spirit gives these gifts through the means of grace, through the gospel and the sacraments. And I confess that anything that is said to be of the Holy Spirit apart from the means of grace is of the devil. Although, again, when we speak about the means of grace, the important thing to remember is that if we want to be certain about where God comes to us, that it is through the gospel and the sacraments. So in other words, when someone, how can I know God, or how can I come to God? You know, one way you can be certain, hear the word of the gospel, you know, be baptized, receive the Lord's body and blood, and be absolved for your sins through the office of the ministry.
I can't help but to think that many of these gifts, and I don't think that this precludes one from the other, but many of these gifts come through study. And we're just talking about, I am of Jesus, I am of this camp, I am of that camp. We run into this in amongst our fellow pastors. I am of Nagel, I am of Marquardt, and this sort of thing. But nonetheless, utterance of wisdom, utterances of knowledge, gifts of healing, you know, your doctor has gifts of healing, and if he's a Christian in his vocation, he's doing this to the glory of God. Working in miracles, I don't know what to do with that one right off the top of my head. Prophecy can also be rightly distinguishing the word of God, speaking the word of God. Many
exactly.
of these things, gifts of tongues. You and I have studied Greek and Hebrew, you know. We
yes.
speak in tongues
yes.
other than our native one.
Pax Domini sit semper vobiscum.
Thank you.
the peace of the Lord be with you always. Always have the interpretation along with it.
Right.
But again, see, you know, you're talking about another thing to remember is that this is addressed to people or congregations in the first century when there wasn't any New Testament. And so, you know, you had a danger there where how can we discern the spirits? In this particular case, that's why he has to deal, because there is these manifestations. You know, it's interesting too, where Paul says that then he, you know, that he was maybe allowed to heal in his ministry. Well, why, you know, one commentator says, why didn't he heal Epaphroditus? Well, he prayed for him, you know, so it is only when and then this is something that comes out in here. It's only as God disposes any of these things to be present in the church and there. And then again, there are many gifts that are signs and to, in other words, authenticate the ministry of the apostles and the foundation in Holy Scripture of the New Testament.
If you'd like to join the program, we invite you, 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area. Nationwide, 800-730-2727. And Jenny is waiting for your calls. Pastor Boyce Clare, I mentioned that a lot of these can be had through study.
Yes, I would agree.
And yet, God in his time, in his wisdom, in his knowledge, can he also just grant these at will to those
yes.
whom he decides?
Yes, and it isn't for us, in a way we have to be careful, it isn't for us to say, you know, we don't want these gifts or you know, or and that's where I'm following my teacher, Dr. Nagel, of course. He says, we don't want to tell God to stop his gifts, you know.
Right.
And he's the one that determines when to give them. But it is the experience of church history that some of these miraculous gifts like healings and speaking in tongues like that have fallen away.
And you point out also, Paul prayed for people. I think the apostles, in many cases, prayed for people who weren't healed. And so sometimes not being healed also serves God's purposes.
Yes, and that's a big point. Paul himself prayed for himself.
Right.
He had a thorn in the flesh, which was probably his eyesight.
Isn't that just because he didn't have enough faith that he wasn't healed? Sorry, that's what some people teach.
That's what some people teach, which is heresy.
Yeah, that's really terrifying. Let's go ahead and talk to Jan in Atlanta, Georgia. Jan, welcome to Thy Strong Word.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I was thinking about Jesus' observation that God sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And I was thinking that when one gets in Christ, he has prepared good works that we should walk in them. So I'd like your help making a distinction between a good work and what our confessions call civil righteousness. I remember on Ed Sullivan's show, Sister Rosetta Tharpe was this thumping guitarist, but she was a Pentecostal. And she would, you know, get national attention for her music, and her church would excommunicate her, and then she'd repent, and then, you know, back and forth. So, yeah, just need your help with that distinction.
All right. Thank you, Jan. I understand, Pastor, your question is between civil righteousness and the works of God.
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, as far as the works of God, which is the new obedience, is that it's good works that flow from our faith in Jesus Christ, and they are acceptable to God through Christ. Civil righteousness is what we observe among people who are not Christians, that they live lives in accordance with God's Ten Commandments. But obviously they don't have the proper motivation. It doesn't stem from faith in Christ. It rather stems from, you know, human wisdom, and maybe restraint, you know, proper education and socialization of people. So when we speak of civil righteousness, it's good deeds that are not acceptable to God because they don't come from faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's the difference between what we would know as the new obedience and civil righteousness.
Civil righteousness can be done by anyone.
Yes.
But none of them are pleasing to God if they aren't done in faith in Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
We have to go ahead and take a break. We'll be right back.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Monday, July 27th, 2015. Today's day sponsors are Mark and Jana Kruger. Today's day sponsors have made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in celebration of their 41st wedding anniversary today. Once again, we say thank you to to Mark and Jana Kruger of St. Peter's, Missouri. Today's worldwide KFUO Day sponsors. Happy anniversary.
In 1924, we embraced the new technology of that day. Radio. Since that day, we've stayed on the cutting edge of technology. There are many easy ways to listen to Worldwide KFUO. On the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the gospel of Christ in both word and song. Now that's why you should listen. The where and the how, well, that's up to you. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
In Cambodia, a young mother and new Christian tucks her children to bed. A former Buddhist, she wants to share her new faith with her children, but she doesn't have the words. You can help this young mother and thousands like her in Sudan, Guatemala, and Vietnam. The Lutheran Heritage Foundation has translated beautiful Bible books for children into more than a dozen languages, which are given free to the families who need them. And you can help. Learn more about this mission at lhfmissions.org.
Welcome back to Thy Strong Word. I'm Pastor Craig D'Onofrio, sitting in for Pastor Will Wheaton today. We're talking with Pastor David Boyce Clare from Faith and Bethesda Lutheran Churches in St. Louis area. We're talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Pastor, we need to make some hay here. We've got a lot to cover. But in all of these gifts of the Spirit, we have those who we call cessationists. God doesn't do that anymore.
And then we can't say that. That right. goes a little bit too far. You know, I think it's we say that the evidence that we have is that it has ceased. You know, some of these sensational gifts have ceased. But what was the,
on one side you have the God doesn't do that anymore.
Cessationists.
And the other side is unless you do this, we don't know if you're a Christian. You know,
yes.
there's opposite of an error is an error in the opposite direction sometimes,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
So how do we talk about this as Lutheran Christians? If God wants you to speak in tongues, what's going to happen?
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's always with the proper purpose, since it always comes from Him. I have a serious problem who think that when they speak gibberish, they're speaking a tongue in the Holy Spirit. I mean, you know, when I was young, I used to like to pretend that I was speaking some foreign language by speaking some, nonsensical verbiage, or anybody that has the idea of what they call ecstatic, mindless babbling that's going on. That I don't believe that is from the Holy Spirit because I think the evidence from Scripture is that these are languages that people can understand if they have that as their native language. But then again, if God wants to do this, He certainly will. We don't expect Him to, though. That's the point.
Right.
Because we do have everlasting life and all that we need in the gospel and the sacraments and in Jesus Christ. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to direct people to Jesus. He will speak of me. That's kind of the neat thing about God. The Father says, listen to my Son. The Son says, I speak everything the Father tells me. And then when the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. And the Holy Spirit, He speaks of Jesus. So that's the way God works.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and teach all of our listeners how to speak in ecstatic utterances. Bada Mazda, shoulda bada Honda. See, you bought a Mazda, but you should have bought a Honda. And you just say it real fast. And then everyone will be impressed with how righteous you really are.
Very good.
Sorry.
I think that's cute.
Let's talk to, now, I'm sorry, I'm going to slaughter your name. Is it Leal? Lyle?
It's an old biblical name, Lael. It's to be L-I-E-L,
Lael. Lael.
Yes.
We have a little bit of a glitchy connection with you, so...
I know. Sorry. I don't know what's going on with my phone.
Oh, that's terrible. Could you call back, please? Sorry. Wow, I couldn't catch up.
I have that recently in my cell phone, or I don't know if she was using a cell phone, but that's...
Anyway, let's go ahead and press on, and we'll wait for her to call back. Starting at verse 12 here, And you started to point this out also, that this whole division thing, and of course, I can't help but to think that in Corinth, someone's saying, well, I speak in tongues, and someone else saying, well, I prophesy. And once again, more division in the church, right? And Paul goes on here in verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in one body, each of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Let's go ahead and press on here a little bit more, because it's all one thought that goes together. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way, which we'll get into next chapter with the love passages and all that. Pastor Boyce Clair, there's so much in this that is just wonderful. As we look out in the church, you know, there are people who are masters of industry and people who are janitors. And there are people who are just odd ducks. And there are people who are socially charming. There's a little bit of everything out there in the church. And should we give one more honor than the other?
Certainly not. You know, and we have to always remember that the gifts that we have are always used to help one another in the church, that we're all one body, even though we have, differing gifts, differing personalities, and that's the whole point of this chapter.
As pastors, we tend to, and I know some pastors aren't like this, but we tend to not want to look into the roles of who's giving what to the church, unless it really becomes a discipline issue. Most pastors avoid seeing the books, who's donating what. And I'll confess, at one of my churches, the end of the year reports, someone put them on my desk, and I didn't know what I was looking at until I started looking at it, and then it dawned on me, and the old Adam got a hold of me, and I got curious. And lo and behold, I was shocked to find that the people that I thought were giving big to the church because they had a lot of money were not as faithful as others who didn't have hardly anything, and yet they gave so much to the church. And I think the Lord let me see that for a reason, that
yes.
I would be conscious not to treat one with more respect than the other. Just because someone pulls up to the church in a Mercedes or a Rolls Royce doesn't mean they're actually putting anything in the plate. And the guy who's pulling in the rusty old pickup truck, you know, he might be the guy who's actually supporting the church financially.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I think in this, And this attitude that we see here, we have to understand, just because the pastor is in front of the congregation, it doesn't mean that he's anything special. Or just because,
or anything, any he is not a Christian that is in any way greater than any other Christian in the congregation.
Yes,
and that all of us are, you know, one body in Christ, and that none of us should be, you know, exalted above the other. You know, that's why the apostles always saying humility, modesty.
Yes, And of course, the old man in us, that old sinful self, as we are both sinners and saints at the same time, there's that royal battle royale that continues, that Romans 7 struggle. Let's take a break from this real quick and go back to Lael and see if hopefully we've got a better connection. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you for waiting.
Yes, thanks for calling back. What is your thought or comment?
Well, I love this aspect in Scripture with that the body of Christ, because of the practical, physical. We are created practically and physically to love our neighbor. So it's just a beautiful text, along with Romans 12, and along with that Scripture too. But also there was the other aspect of the gifts of the Spirit, where you have peace. What is it? Peace, patience. You know, all of that, too, is also another gift of the Spirit that we, in Christ, have in the midst of struggling under our old man, to realize that we are united together to care for our neighbor. And so the other gifts that you don't really see in these two, other than the love, is that you also, there's patience and all of that, that God works in us to love our neighbors as well. So those are also gifts that are not, they're not that you can physically touch, but they're gifts that are grown in us for our well-being, to love our neighbor. So I just was kind of starting to get a little confused between the gifts, but they're all one anyway. But you know, we only talked about this aspect about you know, the gifts of how we move the church forward in our world right now.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your thought. Pastor Boyce Clara, I can't help but to agree with her 100%.
Yes.
In that God gives us gifts, and frankly, I'm growing impatient with God trying to teach me patience. It's getting old. But God is a loving Father who chastises His children. He teaches us, and a lot of times the lessons aren't the easy lessons that we want to learn, are they?
No, and you know, a lot of times, you know, we can be humbled when we are, you know, we step forward and we assert ourselves in a wrong way. And, you know, it's kind of like the Apostle Paul might say, you know, all of you folks should be ashamed of yourselves, which I think he probably says, but he's saying that you have to use your gifts to build up the body. That's what Jesus said on this rock, the confession of him being the Christ, I will build my church. Mm-hmm. And so are we working by the grace of God's Holy Spirit, are we working with Jesus to build His church? How is it done? It you know, a lot of times in church growth, sometimes they talk about spiritual gift inventories and so on. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is the way to grow the church, and you know, maybe the emphasis there is only on just bringing in people, you know, bodies into the building, as opposed to that the church is built through word and sacrament, ultimately, and that these auxiliary gifts or these talents that the Lord gives are there merely to support and to aid in bringing the gospel and the sacraments to God's people, or into people in the world, to everyone.
It's interesting, as we read this section of Scripture, Paul talks about how there are different parts of us, and some are presentable and some we don't present, and so forth and so on. And I never really thought about this before I was just reading this, but our lungs, our heart, our vital organs aren't visible.
Yes.
And so, you know.
I usually don't think of them. I usually think what's on the outside,
right,
you know.
Right,
but I mean,
no.
then you got what's
on
the inside.
Do I have food stuck on my chin, you know?
Yeah.
But how important is my chin versus my heart? And yet everybody sees my chin, but they can't see my heart or my lungs or my spleen, you know, or something like that. And so we have the church of many parts also. You may have a big old nose out in front, the pastor, but, you know, you can live without a nose. You can't live without a heart. You can't live without a lot of the other things in the church. And I'm not saying that the pastor's dispensable. All analogies break down pretty quick. But, you know, it's interesting that someone might be listening and say, you know, I don't have a visible role in my church. All I do is I come, I worship, I put some money in the plate. I have my kids in Sunday school. I go to Bible class. I go home and I tend to my family. And I don't feel like I really... You know, I'm not a big part of my church. Is someone like that actually a big part of the church and a vital part?
Of course. I mean, the Lord has put them there. Well, you know, like that hymn, if you cannot be a watchman standing on Zion's wall, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all. The other one, you know, if you cannot... speak like angels. If you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all. You can be like faithful Aaron holding up the prophet's hands. You know, I mean, that those are also essential. I remember when I was in high school, I didn't like a role I was cast in. I was just cast in a non-speaking role as an Indian or a Native American that just kind of folded his hands and was stood behind the chief. And the person, the director says, your role is very important because you show the importance of this man that you're standing behind. And so, you know, again, that all, or even, you know, you also have the, like the song about being the wind beneath the wings of someone who's, but of course, shall we say that, you know, all of us have a part. The Lord has put us into his body, and we're all essential, and just as essential. If the entire body were the eye, where would the sense of hearing be? You know, if all of the body were a nose, a sense of smell, where would the taste, or where would be the seeing? And so it shows, and again, the apostle is saying, you know, just like God so, you know, miraculously or wonderfully made the human body, so that's the manner in which the Holy Spirit makes the body of Christ through the means of grace.
Verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. You can join our conversation as we talk with Pastor David Boyce Clare. Area code 314-821-0850. Nationwide 800-730-2727. Pastor Boyce Clare, you know, as we're talking about all of this, there are many, many parts of the body. And a lot of us, you know, we say, well, gosh, you know, a pastor, he's the mouth of the church, or, you know, the ladies' guild, they're kind of the heart of the church or something like that. Every now and then, I look at myself, and especially as a pastor who's not in the pulpit, and I kind of think, well, you know, maybe I'm the appendix of the church. I'm not sure what I'm doing here, but God made me here for a reason, you know?
Yes.
And so even as we maybe don't know what our place is in the church— how important is it that we realize that God has placed us here nonetheless?
That's ultimately important. That, you know, God who has brought us to faith and given us his gifts, and he has put us into the church to function as the Lord gives us his gifts. And one of the things is, it's interesting that Lyle was mentioning this about the difference between maybe what you'd consider the difference between gift and fruit. You know, every Christian has love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all fruits of the Spirit. But I think this passage, of course, is speaking about the diversity of gifts which are given to believers. And if they have these, that then they should, as being guided by the Holy Spirit through the Word, see how they can use these gifts to build the church, build up one another. And there's an importance too, not only of bringing the people in, which is a very admirable thing to do, but also to for the unity. What's on the inside? Are they united? Are they brought together? And of course, that's the Spirit's working through the gospel.
The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body we think less honorable, we bestow a greater honor. Our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Pastor Boyce Clare, I know it's hard for people in church to honor each other and to look at each other as fellow redeemed, as one who is every bit as valuable as I do. In the liturgical life of the church, is there any way in particular that you think of that might help us to come together in such a way that we might try to divest ourselves of the self-honor and honor one another?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm
going somewhere with this, and I hope I didn't just catch a flat-footed.
I think that we give all glory and honor to the Lord. But I guess I would ask what your answer to that question is.
I'm sorry. I feel like I sandbagged you on that. I apologize.
That's all right.
I think that as we confess our sins together, as we come together and we say in the hearing of one another, "I have sinned in thought, word, and deed by what I've done, what I've left undone. I don't love my neighbor and I don't love God. I deserve to go to hell." I kind of consider that being the locker room of the church. You know, no one's wearing the Armani suit or the trashy clothes. Everyone is laid naked and bare in this, and everyone is equal in this.
Exactly.
And in this,
and so that, you know, that shows the importance of the general confession and absolution.
Yes. And then those words of absolution comes, and in all of this, are we just really made equal from the get-go in the worship service?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're do not, as the apostle also says in Romans 12, do not let anyone think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. I think that's, you know, all of us have to remember that. There but for the grace of God go I. You know, if people are criticizing someone else for some particular kind of behavioral flaw, in all of it, to recognize that all have sinned, and we all of what we are is what God has made of us. Mm-hmm. In our being in the world is what the Lord has created in us.
As we confess our sin and hear the words of absolution, we're given that moment of pause in there. In the hymnal, sometimes we pastors gloss over it a little too quickly.
Oh, yes.
That moment of self-reflection. Is there a way that someone who is standing in the pews there might reflect more effectively on their sin?
Well, that's a good question. I guess, again, you have what the Catechism says, consider your station under the Ten Commandments, some kind of a confessional address before that, to just remind us in manners in which we have, disappointed the Lord by our sinfulness. And if anyone say, if we say we have no sin, it's interesting that John in his epistle says, you know, I write these things that you do not sin or you don't commit sin. But then he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive our, we're self-deceivers.
Right.
So what I guess the fact that in the hymnals you have the catechism, the small catechism there, just turn to maybe have your congregation as a pastor, have your congregation turn to the Ten Commandments and maybe have them look it over for a couple minutes. That's sort of a night.
We hate silence in worship, though.
Oh, yes, yes. I wanted to mention that it's interesting here. I think it's very telling. Verse 30, do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Hmm. And then the question is asked, obviously not.
Right.
And so those who demand that one, as a Christian, must be able to speak with tongues, however they understand that to be, is flying in the face of this verse.
Let's read these three verses or four verses again real quick here, starting in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. Pastor, in this, I think that as we were talking about all of this, we've been, the high places have been made low, the low places have been high, the crooked has been made straight through confession and absolution, and we come together and we realize, you're no worse than I am, you're no better than I am. We are all equally wretched and equally redeemed in Christ Jesus. And so it really doesn't matter who does what. What matters is that Christ has called us together under his word and his sacraments. We have just a minute left. Could you kind of put all of this together for us real quick?
I think it's very helpful to understand that, you know, Christ is the one who builds his church through the means of grace. And in a sense, by his bringing us into the church, that all of us have a role that we may play to try to support one another, to try to build up one another. And we are individually members of one another. And so nobody is dispensable. And all of us are indispensable in Christ. But ultimately, we live to bring glory to him who is our head, who will also bring us at the last day perfectly righteous by his imputed righteousness that he grants us through word and the gospel word and the sacraments.
So wherever you are today and wherever you are living and your station in life, no matter what you've been through recently or in the past, Christ has redeemed you as much as he's redeemed anyone else and everyone else out there. You are all equally redeemed in Jesus Christ. You are a valuable part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Rejoice in that. And I will show you a still more excellent way. Well, I won't, but Pastor Jolly John Lekomsky will lead tomorrow, and he'll show you the better way in 1 Corinthians 13. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in his grace to life everlasting. Thank you so much, Pastor Boyce Clare.
It's my pleasure.
God bless.
Christ.
We'll talk to you soon.